We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Bear Down Ballers here on the Field of 68 Media Network. I'm Ryan Wall, joined as always by my co-host, Jordan Pollack. And Jordan, this past weekend was one of the games this season that we have been looking forward to the whole season. It was number one Arizona at the time, taking on number three Purdue. It was at the Gainbridge Fieldhouse where the Pacers play. And sadly, the Arizona Wildcats reign on top at the number one spot in the AP poll, and their undefeated streak has come to a close. They lost 92-84. I wanted to get your immediate takeaways and first thoughts on this game.
Yeah, good day. Good day to all of our viewers. Thanks so much for listening to us so far on this ride. It's been a great season so far. And yeah, so the Saturday... they had their first loss. I was pretty impressed, I thought, by how bad Arizona played, and yet they were kind of still in the game until the very end, like outside of a few clutch free throws that Purdue made in the last minute. I think they got down to right around two possessions, and they had a lot of stretches in this game that just like were sloppy defensively and where they just missed a lot of point blank layups. And so I thought with how well Purdue played and how bad of stretches that Arizona seemed to have, like I came away pretty impressed overall, and just like, you never like want to like look good losing. And definitely there were definitely times when this team did not look good. And it seemed like every possession was hard to, for some reason, to get a rebound or to stop and for a late rotation on a 3-point shooter. But I thought they battled the whole day. And I think especially in early season, like huge games like this, like that's what you want to see from your squad. You want to see them battle from tip to tip. And I thought they responded well throughout the night. I think some of my bigger points that I think jumped out to me was a lot of success that they seem to have around the halfway mark in the second half when they're switching between man and zone. I know people, fans of college basketball, like that's one of Coach K's things that he did a lot through the 2000s with his Duke teams, was switching the game between zone and man. And it just gets teams out of funks, that especially when they're shooting really well. And that was a thing that really got them back into the game in the second half. I think they were losing a little over 10, and they got it within a possession or two, I think right around the 6-minute mark. And they got it down close, and Purdue came out and made it more quick threes.
Yeah, it just seemed in this game, Purdue just came out of the gates firing, ready to go, hitting shots, hitting three-pointers from the start. And I mentioned last week that I'm not the biggest fan, and I don't think Purdue's guards are elite like I think that Arizona's guards are, but as a whole, Purdue's guards outplayed Arizona's, and their backcourt had over 50 points. And, you know, Lawyer leading the way had 27. Braden Smith, 26 points, 9 for 15 from the field. He hit 4 3-pointers, 9 between him and Lawyer. And then Zach Edey added 22 points. But to me, Jordan, if you would have told me holding Zach Edey to under 25 points, you would think that Arizona would have had a better shot to come out on top. But it just seemed like Arizona was fighting from behind throughout this whole game. They were down by 11 at half. It went up to, I believe, 15 points in the second half. Then Arizona went on a 13-4 run. They came all the way back, like you mentioned, within, I believe, 4 points. But it just seemed like every time they needed that shot to not just inch them closer, but to tie or take the lead, they just couldn't get enough stops. They couldn't make enough big plays. But on Arizona's end, a guy that did make big plays and the guy that made a big play, it seemed like almost every time they needed, like I said, not every time, but that was Caleb Love. Had his season high in points, 29 points. He had 4 3-pointers, 9 for 19 from the field. He was just confident, and that's what you expect from a fifth-year, a veteran player in Caleb Love. But it seemed like he was the only player from the guards and the wings with Arizona that wanted the moment and wanted to make it theirs. It seemed like Paolo Larsson, Boswell were just kind of a little too passive for Arizona to succeed in this game.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that, especially from the guard play. I think the first 2 weeks of the season, we were highlighting and talking about how big of a step that Boswell had made. And outside of the last, 2 weeks, we haven't really seen much of that huge step up from Boswell that we thought we were going to get, and especially with how he kind of came out at that Duke game for the entire country. And so pretty stagnant shot selection, 0-4 from three. I think those were half of his shots. And some of them just weren't falling well, and you kind of hate to see that. But I feel that's somewhat normal, especially from a younger guy. It's his first year starting. If he doesn't feel in a groove, and he's just not, I don't think, comfortable enough to try to shoot himself out of a slump. And so I think that's been a little bit of a disappointing thing to see from him.
I totally agree on that, Jordan. And it kind of, I have been a huge fan of Kylan Boswell since he's been in Tucson the last two seasons. And I agree. He's just flat out been too passive on offense the last couple games. I know a lot of those games, the Arizonas we've talked about, they've only had a couple big time matchups this season, but not just the big time matchups. The last five probably games of this season, he's not aggressive. He's not hunting for his own shots. We talk about it all the time. I mean, you have to have a balance between getting others involved and finding your own shot, because Boswell wasn't on from three, didn't hit a three in this game versus Purdue, but he has to look for it more. He has to draw more contact, go to the hole. And because to me, if this team is going to get to that next level, and I know they were number one and they dropped to number four in the latest AP poll, but they're going to need an elite Kylan Boswell. The Kylan Boswell, Jordan, that we saw in Cameron Indoor earlier this season, that version is going to have to be present for Arizona to make a Final Four run. Any other thoughts?
Yeah.
Any other thoughts or players that you maybe wanted to see a little more out of in this game?
I would say one of the highlights I thought of the game was Johnson, how well Keyshawn Johnson played, and it just felt like he was everywhere. Like, he was getting rebounds, he was scoring, he was finishing at the rim, he was hitting threes, he even got to the free throw line a bunch of times. And I thought that was, I think pretty early in the game, I felt like that was a pretty big mismatch that I saw outside of the centers, and then the shooting guard play was hit. And he played very well, I thought, and just kind of exposed, I think, some weaknesses that Purdue has, especially at their forward and not center position. So I was very impressed with with Johnson and Ballo, how well Ballo ran the floor, I thought was a great thing. And I think they exposed some things that Purdue really had trouble with defensively too. I think specifically with Keyshawn of wings kind of hitting the glass pretty quickly. And yeah, and it was just guard play. And you've been watching college basketball for a few years. Like sometimes teams can just like outshoot you, especially in the era of basketball we lived where everybody's trying to be Steph Curry. Everybody's trying to shoot. Like I will remember the rest of my life when number one Virginia lost to a 16 UMBC and they shot like almost 60% from three and Virginia wasn't in that game at all. That's kind of honestly, that's some of the way I felt in this game, especially with Lawyer hitting the threes that he was hitting. And like, mind me, I think I saw maybe at least one like somewhat uncontested three. Like a majority of the threes that they made were solidly contested. They weren't wide open by any means. These guys were just hitting shots. And we live in an era of basketball where sometimes all you can do is just kind of give me the, I don't know. I don't know what to do because yeah. They're just making
yeah,
them.
Yeah, Jordan, I totally agree with that. I think Purdue took this game and won this game more than Arizona lost this game because overall, Arizona played a really good game. We mentioned Keyshawn Johnson. We mentioned Caleb Love, Umar Ballo. Boswell and Larson didn't have their best games, and only 2 points off the bench really hurt you. But that performance by Arizona beats a lot of teams on a nightly basis in this college basketball world today. It's just, like I said, when you let up 75 points from three players, it's hard to beat them no matter what. Obviously, Arizona could have got the job done if Boswell did a little more, if Pella Larson did a little more, but that wasn't the case. But Jordan, I wanted to touch on the guy you brought up, Keyshawn Johnson. He wasn't just the best player, wasn't one of, and maybe the best player that made the most impact for Arizona in this game, but he's been the MVP for me for this Arizona team this season. Every night this season and every game, Keyshawn Johnson shows up. He's never a guy where you look and you're like, oh, I wanted a little more out of Johnson. He's always stealing the ball. He's always affecting the game multiple ways on defense, hitting a couple threes he's improved on. So yeah, I think Johnson has been the MVP for this Arizona team.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Yeah, I completely agree. I completely agree. And something I want to talk about, Purdue. Purdue played a great game. Matt Painter had a great game plan of, especially early on in the game, with how much Purdue was running. I'm like, what am I watching? Like, I've watched Purdue for years play against Wisconsin. And they're honestly somewhat similar to Wisconsin in some ways. Like, they don't have any athletes that are going to try to outplay you and play you off the court. And the way that they kind of matched the speed of Arizona early in the game was very bizarre to me. And they played really well. They played really, really well. I don't want to take anything away from Purdue. And there's some glimpses of the game kind of gave me some memories of last year's Arizona team, honestly, with how much they focus on their center. And especially in this game, how much it was like, cool, we're all rolling on all cylinders because our center's getting buckets, he's getting rebounds, and then other guys are shooting the ball well. And that's where Arizona was last year. And where it was like, Tubelis is going to give us this many points. Okay, who's going to shoot well for us tonight? And I haven't watched Purdue enough this year to really gauge like if that's their team, but that's the feeling I definitely got from the game on Saturday. And especially like Purdue being the second team to ever lose to a 16 seed. And I brought up the Virginia loss earlier and how they just got outshot in the gym. Purdue, like, that was not like a fluky game. Like, Purdue was just outplayed in that game. Like, they weren't like the FDU wasn't just hitting crazy shots and doing crazy stuff. It was like they got outplayed in that game. And so, and this Purdue team is almost the exact same as they had last year. And so, like, I think there's still some question marks about this team for sure. For sure. And again, it was a great game. I want to give them all the flowers in the world. But, and I wouldn't say anything like there's an asterisk. I know that's a huge thing in sports media nowadays with certain games and certain things happening. I think that's so overblown and it's idiotic. But if that game is like not played in Indianapolis, like within 2 hours of Lafayette, and they don't have 70% of the crowd, I don't know. I think that game probably goes quite a bit differently because it felt like even when Arizona cut the lead down and they went on runs and they're thrown in zone packages in the second half, it still felt like Purdue had like all of the momentum the entire time, which I don't really know how that happens when it's on a neutral court, but maybe that's just on U of A too. U of A fans to travel better. And I know Tommy Lloyd's been super big on the fan base and showing out for games and getting people out of their seats during big runs and stuff. But those are some things I want to say. And this is probably one of the biggest roadish games that they'll probably play all year just because of the Pac-12 being pretty down this year so far. And I'm really excited to see how this team responds, especially after this game, with what the rest of the week has too, and going into winter break. Cause now the guys are done with classes, they just ended finals, and so they'll be ready for their break and to pick up Pac-12 play.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM Sportsbook for this college basketball season. We're going to be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks and predictions throughout the college basketball season, and we are going to have special offers for you, the listeners, and the viewers on the Field of 68 each and every week during the season. If you haven't signed up with BetMGM yet, use the bonus code FIELD1500 and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager on BetMGM Sportsbook. Here's what you got to do. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD1500. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $1,500 in bonus bets if that bet loses. Just make sure you use the bonus code FIELD1500 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient for me when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly. When crossing state borders, just log into your existing account instead of having to create new accounts in each state that you go to. And most importantly, I got to let you know, we do have some fun stuff coming up for this college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boosts, my personal favorite, parlay odds boosts. So download the BetMGM app today.
Yeah, a couple thoughts on your statement there is that we mentioned that a lot of these games aren't actually neutral site games. That wasn't a neutral site game. That was as close to a home game in a neutral site arena literally as you can get. And it's going to be the same. We'll get into a little bit. Arizona playing Alabama in Phoenix on Wednesday. They're playing at the Footprint Center where the Suns play. So that's going to be the same thing. 80%+ of pure Arizona fans in attendance. But another thing you said a little bit ago is that that's the thing with Purdue. They're not going to out athlete you. They don't have elite athletes and they don't even get that many elite recruits. It's kind of just their ability to develop. And Matt Painter is just an elite developer of talent. That's what he's been known to do. He's been known to take guys like Zach Edey, who I believe was maybe a 3-star recruit. I don't even think he was a 4-star. He was a low-end recruit out of high school. Nobody really talked about him, and now he's on the verge of possibly back-to-back National Players of the Year. And yeah, I think that Lawyer and Braden Smith, they're not going to combine for 50 every game. I think Arizona just caught them on maybe a possibly a career night for those two. And yeah, like I said last week, I think they're closer to they're a little above average. I'll give them that, but I don't think they're elite guys. I still don't think they're on the same level of a Caleb Love. But the one thing, Jordan, that they did better than Arizona's, or one of the things they've did better than Arizona's guards this past Saturday, is they wanted it more from the start of the game to the end. They had their foot on the pulse. They were pushing the pace and their defense was good. They got stops when they needed to, and they didn't let Arizona kind of get into their flow of their offense. It seemed like Arizona, they never could get what they wanted going. And that was a big issue for me in this game. And just overall looking at this, not just this game, but in general, this Arizona season, if you would have told me that Arizona is 8-1 after playing the likes of Duke and Michigan State, who right now aren't ranked, or Michigan State's not ranked, Duke, you know, they're not ranked that high, but when they played, they were. And then, you know, playing a power five great program in Wisconsin and all these matchups up until this point, if you would have told me they only have lost one game, and like you said earlier, it's to the current number one team in the country, there's no shame on that, because we've seen this college basketball season. We've seen Kansas lose games. We've seen every team. UConn lost. Every team. I mean, Houston's undefeated right now, the only team in the top five. But every other team has suffered losses, even Purdue. So I don't think this, in the end, I think Arizona gets more credit for playing this game than, you know, losing. I don't think the loss in the end is going to affect them one bit. And like you said before, I think this is a great, you know, learning and teaching moment for this Arizona team. And we'll get into it in a couple minutes, but they have two more opportunities in their non-conference schedule that are big games and could kind of not erase this, but put this to the back burner if they do come out looking good this week in their two more games. But Jordan, any other final thoughts on this Purdue game and how Arizona played, and any critiques you may have?
I would just say, like, we talk about all the great success Tommy Lloyd has had in his first few years and all the regular season success. This is a building block for this team going into later in the season for postseason play. Like, this game is going to help them a lot, especially in March with the selection committee, even playing these games, much less winning all of them. But this one, and they play pretty badly compared to Purdue, and they still lose within 10 points. And so this is a building stage for this team, and Tommy Lloyd, like, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. And I think my last thought of this game was, while watching it, and even at the end, when Arizona got to 4, got to 6 points within Purdue, it seemed like it was a heavyweight matchup, and it wasn't like Purdue just blew them out of the water. They were up by close to 20 at some point in the second half. And then Arizona, you know, came marching back. It was an Arizona team that is still a top five team in the country. And they proved that to me still while coming up short. I still think they played good. They need more production from the bench if they're going to, you know, win more big games like this down the road. And they're going to need more production and better play out of Boswell and Larson, like we mentioned. But Jordan, let's get into their next game, which as we're recording this is in 2 days. It's on Wednesday. It's taking place at 9 p.m. Arizona time, 11 p.m. on the East Coast. It's on ESPN, so even though it's a little later, it's still a national TV game. It's part of the Hall of Fame series in Phoenix, Arizona, as I mentioned, at the Footprint Center. It's Arizona, who's now ranked number 4, taking on the Alabama Crimson Tide, who have actually looked better than their record may say. They're only 6-4 this season, but they played Purdue really close, only lost by 6, less than Arizona did. And their last game, they lost a very close one, tight one against Creighton by 3. So they played the great teams close, and they're led by one of the best guards to me in the country right now, Mark Sears, averaging 21 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And Jordan, he's shooting 48% from deep. What are your thoughts on this matchup, and what do you think Arizona's chances are to get back on track with a win over Alabama?
Yeah, it's another cool matchup. I know preseason Alabama was ranked in the top 25. They've had a few pretty dang close losses, and I believe a majority of all of their losses have still happened to major conference teams, I believe, and Ohio State, Clemson, Purdue. This is a good program, and mind you, they're less than a year out from having a top 3 NBA draft pick that kind of blew up college basketball from his on-play ability on the court and some of the controversy that he had off the court. But Nate Oates, like, Arizona actually has some history with Nate Oates, as he was the head coach of University of Buffalo in 2018 when DeAndre Ayton's freshman year was ended abruptly in the first round. And so Nate Oates, another Wisconsin guy, his first job was at UW-Whitewater. They're mostly known for college football, but he's done some really great things. He's known for some really flashy, like, plaid suits. He's always styling, so I'm excited to see what he's going to be repping on the court. But I think the biggest comparison with his style is very similar to the later years of James Harden at Houston. Like, they're going to shoot a lot of threes, and they're going to try to score in the paint. They're very analytics-based. They're going to try to take away shots that just analytically don't make a lot of sense. They don't shoot a lot of mid-range shots. They do a lot of high pick and rolls to where they're looking for a dribble drive. They're looking for a dump down to the big roll under the basket, or they're looking for a pull-up three right outside of it. And so it's going to be a big game for Arizona's guards, especially in the pick and roll. And we'll see how Umar Ballo can play really well. But outside of Ballo, like, especially having Johnson, like, this team switches a lot. And so I would not be surprised if they just try to switch every on-ball screen that they possibly get. But I think it could be a really fun game. It is in Phoenix, like you said. And so Arizona should be 80% of the crowd. And so it should be a home game. I'm sure Tommy Lloyd's going to hold them up to the highest standard of what it should be like if they were down in Tucson and McHale. I don't really think this will be – I don't think it'll come down to the last minute. That's what I would say. I think it'll be a competitive game, but I don't think it'll be within, like, 2 scores.
I totally agree. And besides Mark Sears, who I mentioned is an elite three-point shooter, they have 3 other players that are above 40% in their rotation. And as a team, they're right under that 40% mark, 39% from 3. So they're elite and lethal from deep. So it's going to be a high scoring game because, I mean, Arizona averages over 90 points. Alabama's at 92 points a game. They put it on teams all the time. And like I mentioned, They keep it close with pretty much every top team they've played this season. They just haven't seemed to be able to get a signature win and get over the top. But yeah, I think Arizona is going to win this game by, I'm going to say, 8 points. They're going to beat Alabama. I think they're going to get back on track. I think Kylan Boswell in this game is going to get going. I think he's going to have at least 15 points and kind of get back on track and show glimpses of that player he was in the Duke game and Michigan State, and kind of just keep improving game after game here. But yeah, before we go, Jordan, I want to know your final score prediction. How many points do you think this game is going to be within?
I think they'll probably get it close to the average. I think the game will probably be in the 80s. I'd say probably 89 to 80 Arizona, I would imagine. And we still, I don't think, have any spreads yet out for that game.
No,
but
no.
I'd put that right around 8.5, I think.
So you go over 8.5?
I'd go over 8.5. Yeah, over.
So we're right about the same. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in to today's episode, for watching, viewing, liking, and subscribing. And Jordan, we're going to be back later this week to preview the big matchup against top 15 team FAU that's on Saturday. We'll recap this Alabama game, and we'll see everyone next time.